I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. I say it again. I ran into someone last night who listened to the show and said, oh, I miss you. And and 11:20 a.m. And I'm like, sister, 98.7 FM. And so she lives, you know, like in Chesterfield, and she's going to listen now. So I pick it up way out west in St. Charles, and I got it all the way to my mom's house in South Roxana. So check it out, 98.7 FM. It's cool. We paid hundreds of dollars for that signal.
Mm-hmm.
Got to use it.
Don't let it go to waste.
No, I bought it personally, myself. How are you, Tones?
I'm okay.
Hey, guess what today is?
What's that?
Guess. It's your day.
My day?
Your day.
Blackberry Winter?
It's No Pants Day.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I figured you would have been at like an event or something, or giving a speech.
Speaking at an event, yeah.
No.
Hosting a panel?
Right. Tony Colombo, our culottes pants.
Now, if your boss tells you to wear pants, you make him tell you twice.
If he laughs at all, you don't have to do it. Those are the rules.
Them's the rules.
I was talking to Phoebe last night. It's so funny. Like, when you're 16, 12-year-olds are just like the dumbest thing in the world, right? And you're, you know, it's 4 years. But it was ironic because the night before, I'm very lonely. And so the night before, I was thinking about what was the absolute best time in my life. Kids don't count, right? That
mm-hmm.
Because if you say like something other than your kids, everyone's like, ugh.
Yeah, that's cheating.
But it would be when I was about 12. 10 was too young, 14's too old, because I cared about girls, and that was misery. But 12, before at least I hit puberty,
right?
But you're old enough to like ride mini bikes, and you know, that was it. That was just it. And Phoebe was talking about how annoying 12-year-old boys are, and I said, oh yeah, they're the worst. And she said, well, it's because they're so happy. And I thought, that's pretty smart. But it is. Everyone hates 12-year-old boys. They're just living the life.
I was miserable when I was 12.
What happened?
I just was an awkward kid.
Oh, you were the one. I was really, I was solid.
Well, no, I mean, I was like, over here thinking the same thing. Like, I didn't love being 12.
I was the last one to grow up. I was the last one to go through puberty. So I was always the
I was too, but I didn't care. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I did. I felt... Yeah.
You're one up on me.
I hated it.
My friends were like,
middle school was just rough.
Anyone noticed Michelle's developing? And I'm like, so I got the Sergeant Urko, the Planet of the Apes cards. Like, I just didn't care. I'm nunchucking, you know, and just like, look at this, check it out. I was blissfully dorky.
Yeah.
And you know what finally did it? I was 15 and... obviously some of my friends were older than me and not friends, you know, superiors, and they got their license, and it used to be a treat for my mom and dad and I to go to McDonald's or Dairy Queen, and we went to McDonald's. I had no idea that people like went there cruising and looking for girls and stuff. No idea. So parked the car, dad went in, got the McDonald's, brought it out. We're eating in the car. I'm in the back seat. And I look over, and there's like four of the popular boys in their own car talking to girls, and it just, epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
It just hit. And my dad's like, how's the burger, boy? And I just slid, literally like a cartoon, slid down the back seat.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I think it's time to go. Let's just, no, head home. I poop my pants. Poop my pants bad. Let's go. It's going to start singing any second. Oh, it's down, the, you know. And then I realized, like, holy hell, there's a whole world out there. And by the time I was 28, I joined it. I took a girl to McDonald's. Why was 12 so bad for you?
It just wasn't a great year, you know.
And about 13 or 11?
not my favorite time of life.
Okay, fine. Sorry. Jeez. Tired of fighting with you on the show. Every time I walk in that bathroom, something happens.
Yeah, okay, what happened now?
Well, I would just encourage you to go to the right urinal. There's a lefty and a righty.
Mm-hmm.
And flush the toilet.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see it happen to you. But it's a normal looking urinal, and you got the pipe going up to the handle.
Yeah.
And when you flush it, it sprays cold, ice cold water.
Oh.
Exactly.
On you?
On you. From your nipples.
I'm going at break.
To your knees.
Yikes.
I'm gonna stand. Yes. If I stand aside, will I be all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna try it.
They should probably put up a sign or something.
I don't know. Maybe everyone else likes it or something. They think it's like a jacked
up. It's a bidet.
Yeah. It's a St. Louis bidet. Bidet hits the other end.
It's a cooling station.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there's a good wash with it. I mean, it hits you right where it needs to, so.
There has been, in the women's restroom, we have three stalls, and one of them, I feel like, has been out of order since the beginning of the pandemic. But then I realized recently, it's not out of order. The lights are just out over that stall, so I just think it's inaccessible. But I think you can still use it. I don't know. That was a way more boring story than I thought it was going to be. Sorry.
I was like,
oh, I've got one
I
for
got
you.
One. I got one lined up. I've been waiting to use this.
The light bulb's out.
Right. And it turns out
that's just as bad as getting sprayed with toilet water.
What's up, Steve? Steve Ewing. Mr. Hot Dog. Damn. Damn. Now look at that. Dave Klein. When was it that it's when Mayhew brought him in, right?
When Andrew ate all of the Steve's hot dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the first and only time I've ever been really, really mad at him.
Yep.
So Andrew is going out to a remote today with the Mark Reardon show all the way out in Wentzville.
Mm.
So I'm happy for him. He was like, this is my first ever remote, which is great. He's going to have a good time. But then Dave was talking about Steve coming with his hot dogs, and you could just see like the panic on his face of like, well, hold on a second.
His face fall.
Yeah.
Trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
The one day I'm leaving.
Steve gave Mayhew enough for everybody. They showed up. Andrew ate a couple and hit a couple. And
yeah.
It was like, yeah, there's only one left.
Yeah, he squirreled them away.
You four can split one hot dog.
Yeah.
We're like,
he put one in Carl Middleman's pants while he wasn't looking. He's like, hey, look, it's a Jawa. And Carl's like, what? In the pants. I know people think I make these stories up. I don't like swearing on my children, but I'm going to do it right now. Mm-hmm. I swear on my children. This happened.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I went, Walgreens, QT, bathrooms. Those are the only three places I go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only places I see humans.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my stuff. I walk out to my car, and there's another car, and the horn's blowing. But not like, it's like a lock thing. It's not like, it's like, you know, someone's honking the horn. So I get out there and I walk up to the car. It's an SUV because I want to make sure that someone doesn't need help, like someone's having a heart attack. Because I haven't saved a life in 2 years, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, like my average is going down.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, there was a dog, and it looked like Frasier's dog, a little bit bigger, and it was sitting in the front seat. It didn't have his paws on the steering wheel, but it was sitting in the driver's seat, and he just looked at me. I swear to God, and I looked at him. And I'm thinking, like, again, I swear, I think my whole life is just candid camera. I'm like, am I being punked? If I walk up to the car, is a clown going to jump out at me or something?
Right.
So I just sort of gingerly got in my car and started it. He never took his eyes off me.
The dog told you to mind your business?
Yeah, he backed me down.
Hmm.
The dog was honking the horn.
At you?
Well, I was the only one
there.
No, I think he was just honking it for his owner.
Right.
And then I walked up, and he's like, what the hell are you looking at?
You got a problem with this?
Yeah.
Do you have any authority here?
Baldy.
Can you give me what I want?
Yeah.
Little bell's going off down here. Yeah. I need to pee. Little bells going off. What the hell did that mean? When dogs need to pee, a little bell goes off.
Ding, ding, ding.
Give me a hot dog, Steve. I'm losing it. Damn. Well, this is what the show's going to be
very
like.
Very low blood sugar. Need something to eat now.
Exactly.
Covered a lot of ground there.
Yeah. Got a cereal bar or something? Oh, man.
Bell's going off.
What's
that mean? I don't know.
Okay, today, Steve's going to come in a second here. He's got some news about Steve's hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And then we have Hancock and Kelly joining Steve to debate politics. Dave Murray, a really, 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 really funny friend of mine, a professional comic's going to be in. And then they're making me have Tom Ackerman on. So there's not very little I can do
about
that.
The way you said that, it sounded like Dave Murray was the really, really, really funny comic.
No, Dave doesn't make me laugh. Dave makes me sad. Welcome back, guys. 220. Dave Glover Show and KMOX. Our pal Steve Ewing is here. Steve and I have been boys for a long time. Good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
How are you, man?
Good.
You probably go back farther with Steve than I do, right?
The urge was everything,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
When we were on the point in the late 90s, and yeah, going to Mississippi Nights.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Pete Mayer, you probably know Pete from PM.
Yep.
And Jimmy Buffett, he's in town doing a show tonight at the pageant, and I had him on last week. And talking about his favorite bands, he brought you guys up.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is very
cool.
Cool
when
yeah.
someone cool says you're cool, you're like, shut up.
like, wow. That's really,
really neat.
Cool.
Yeah. So Steve struggles. He's not an attractive man, and he's never been famous, and he doesn't have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
He hasn't had much success in business,
yeah.
So he thought he'd start bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So if I thought I could kick your ass, I would, yeah. But I can't, so I won't.
Yeah, being a rock star, not
wasn't enough.
Enough.
Oh it wasn't gosh. Enough.
Successful business owner, not enough.
No.
No, no.
You look fantastic.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
So you have big news on Steve's, right?
Yep, so the we're officially moving into the old spot that used to be Mangia Italiano on Grand.
Oh, that's yeah. awesome. That's a great
yeah.
spot.
So it's just only like a few blocks from our previous, the space we're in now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we got a little bit more room, a bigger patio, and a bar.
It's very
that's
nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's got to be so exciting,
cool.
terrifying, all at the same time.
It's exactly what it is. Both of those, yeah.
Yeah, it's like me. I'm not loaded with confidence. I'm basically a big blazing ball of insecurity. I'm just willing to take risks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because when I'm doing it, it's not like, oh, now he thinks he can do this. It's like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Let's go. Yeah.
Let's see how this goes.
That's exactly it.
You know what, Steve, what is really cool, though, that has to give you some confidence, especially with Steve's hot dogs and the roller coaster you've been on the last couple of years. If there's one thing that the St. Louis community has shown is that it is a big supporter of your business. And
oh, yeah,
they
big
are
time.
There for you.
Yeah.
And so that's got to
feel
good.
Yeah, we did a going away show.
Man, that's it was insane.
Yeah.
The city basically saved our business.
Right,
yeah.
right. So big you got to feel yeah. good that you know that you have that loyal base that's ready to go and
we had Steve
blow
on,
up this new place.
Steve's hot dogs are closing, and we all cried, and then he marked close to me. Mark Close is retiring, and next Monday he was on Casey Midday.
And so Steve was close.
It's like,
Mark
Close
can't retire.
Steve's hot dogs. And then the next week, Rachel's like, hey, staying open. I'm like, that son of a bitch. He totally played me just to get a hit on the
oh
show.
Oh, my gosh. That was that
this
last
wild,
time we
right?
talked was like was when we were closing
yeah.
the shop. And that was, man, was I stressed out.
I
was,
oh, I bet.
I bet.
Oh, my gosh.
You're
yeah.
going to have to go pro bodybuilding.
I was in the middle of trying to train for a show
uh-huh.
when I made the decision to close the shop.
Yeah.
And that the hardest thing about it was just letting everybody know, all the staff and everybody, like,
yeah.
you know, we're closing. You know, so that was, it was just stressful. And that just the process of trying to get closed and what are we going to do? And it was just crazy.
And then what happened? I never really heard the story.
I went to my current partners. I went to them and said, hey, I'm thinking about closing. I am closing. Can you do the press release? And my partner had done a PR for me in the past as a consultant. And I said, can you just do the press release and just let everybody know that I'm closing? And she said, well, I'll do that. But after a week or so, if we do enough business, would you consider having a partner? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I just was like, in my mind, I made up my mind
yeah.
closing.
Mm-hmm.
So in that week, we, you know, I came and talked to you guys, mm-hmm. and it was insane. We did triple our business.
So basically, we saved you.
Yes.
All right.
We did, yeah.
So that was pre-COVID. Then what was COVID like for you guys?
That was like another punch in the chest.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Like a big one, yeah, because we were like doing this, and we were just starting to kind of get back on our feet, and then COVID hit, and we had to scramble again. Luckily, my partners, who are really good at this, said this is what we need to, like, get ahead of the technological aspect of it, start working on how to get food out really, really easily. And so we just tied in all the delivery services, mm-hmm. and just hit our social media like crazy.
Yeah.
And then that kept us steady through.
What's it like as a restaurant owner with the explosion of things like DoorDash and Uber Eats? Like, is it a great thing for you guys? I mean, obviously during COVID, it's got to be a great thing. But in general, is it awesome, or is it like another layer of complexity?
For us, for me, I like it because previous to, you know, using Grubhub and all that, we had our own drivers, our own delivery drivers and all that. And that was, that's difficult because you got those employees. Sometimes they don't show up. Sometimes they're late. Sometimes they don't deliver the food fast enough. And there's more liability. So when Grubhub and those guys came along, we stopped using our own drivers. It's about the same cost, you know, as paying your own driver or paying them the 20-something percent, you know. So
it's better.
So now we were able to put all of them together on one platform. Yeah. So you could look up Steve's Hot Dogs and it would be really easy, mm-hmm. to find this.
That's great.
Order. Yeah.
So you're going to a new space, bigger space, cooler space. You gonna do anything different? Or you're just gonna fill it up with more people?
We'll be able to do live music. So mm-hmm. before we were having
Tony's
this shit,
the band now.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, come
we'll
on.
See how that goes.
You know where I'm at.
Let's go.
Tony's in a band called The Purge.
Are you thinking about doing it? Are you thinking about getting it together?
He's got our gig coming up.
We got our first gig coming up. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I work with guys like Jason Nelson.
Yeah.
Perry Woods is my best friend and my guitar player.
It's an all conga band.
Lonzo Jameson. You probably worked with Lonzo the drummer.
Lonzo, I know Lonzo, yeah.
Yep. He's,
dude, that's a super group.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Yeah, that's
and
I'm just gonna hide. I'm just gonna go hide in the corner.
So speaking of live music, you're playing out at the drive-in next month, right?
We are, yeah. We're doing the I think June 25th, right at the drive-in.
Yep. Yeah, that'll be fun. I've not been to the drive-in.
They did a good job like executing that last summer. So
I haven't seen you since we played together in the rainstorm. Remember
yeah,
that?
It was like, yay, and then just rain. It's like, oh, this is great.
That was awful. So for people who've never been to Steve's Hot Dogs, where are you currently?
We're at 3457 Magnolia, so two blocks off of Grand on Magnolia.
And you'll be going a few months, you think?
Yeah, we're looking at end of August.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so.
Come back again then.
I sure will. That'd be awesome.
And I'll see you at the Urge Show. And then I'll see your bodybuilding show, and you'll have to get a restraining order against me.
Yeah.
Like, is there a guy out there that looks like Michael Chiklis? We need to get rid of his ass. Thank you, Steve. Love you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 234. Do me a favor, if you like the show, because we have a lot of new listeners now. I'm finding that out. Tell a friend. It's unlike anything you're ever going to hear anywhere else. You may hate it. That's okay. I get that. But it's not like anything you're ever going to hear anywhere else. And if you like it, the way I would describe it, we were doing a podcast before there were podcasts. You feel me on that,
yeah.
Rach?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not comparing myself to Joe Rogan. He's a $100 million guy. But we've been doing that sort of free form, funny, serious, political, philosophy, religion thing for 21 years. So, good or bad, love it or hate it, this is kind of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the new laser?
Mm-mm.
Boy, how many times do I say that? I believe it's Korean scientists have developed by far, not even close, the most powerful laser ever. Get this.
Mm-hmm.
All of the light that comes from the sun that hits the earth in a 24-hour period is all concentrated into an area about the size of a speck of dust.
Whoa.
Right?
That's a powerful laser.
How did they even make laser. That? Hold on. How did they even make that?
She caught me.
How did they capture all of the sunlight that hits the earth in a 24-hour period?
No, they didn't capture it.
Oh, they made it as powerful?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
She hates Koreans. This comes up all the time.
They That's not true.
Like, let's get Korean barbecue. She's like, like bacon barbecue.
They built a bigger Hadron Collider and pumped it full of voltage.
The boosters, man, they're working overtime on this laser.
But see, I remember I've been saying this for years that we don't have any idea what our country has weapon-wise, much less anyone else. And eventually there's going to be another Manhattan Project where someone's just going to go like, oh, by the way, we harnessed the sun and they just blow a hole in North Dakota.
You know how I say, stop putting the trash in the ocean, stop putting the trash in landfills and throw it at the sun.
Throw it into space.
Yes.
Just take it into space.
I do know how you say
sun.
That.
Hopefully it hits it. Hopefully, you know, if it doesn't, who cares? It's just going to keep
going. Yeah, that's space's problem now.
You're also the man that wants Clifford to poop in the beach.
No, in the ocean.
Yes. He said he guessed that. He didn't say he wanted Clifford to go
I would
there.
Rather him do that in the ocean than in my backyard. I stand by that.
Fair.
Just burn the trash with a laser.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
It's a really good idea. Just yeah. Done.
Gone.
That's a 2 seconds.
Right?
Yeah. They're saying it's for medical purposes.
It's better than putting it in the ocean.
No.
Where we have floating ocean.
I'm not ever going to argue for putting
rash island
in the ocean.
What medical purpose is it for?
What is your deal with Koreans? No. Oh, my God.
Wow, please stop doing that, for real.
It's like for cancer. Lasers for cancer.
But that's still, if it's as hot as the sun.
Oh, you can dial it down to one.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just learning I don't understand lasers
at all. That's when
it's
at 10.
You're just learning that?
That's when it's set at 10.
Before I did this story, you're like, lasers. I got it.
Thought I had a pretty good grip on it.
I got it. No, I mean, that's great. Attack the cancer cell.
Mm-hmm.
Count to three. It's a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
And a trash destroyer.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, and a trash destroyer.
And don't lasers go forever? So, like,
we could
like, shoot someone to... Light year away?
Uh-huh.
Just wait a year.
Man, I remember, like, the laser pen was so cool, and everybody was like, don't look at it.
Yeah, don't put that in your eyes.
Oh, dude.
Don't let it hit your eye.
The least successful, I've been very unsuccessful in my life. The least successful I've ever been was seventh grade shop. We all had to take shop, and you did, like, wood shop, metal shop, made a boomerang, you made this, print shop, rebuild a lawnmower motor. I have exactly zero skills. But I remember in welding class, them going, like, if you look at the weld thing without a welder's helmet on, you'll be blind instantly.
Right.
So what do you think I did?
Mm.
I mean, I couldn't get my eyes open wide enough.
Right.
Were you staring at the sun quite a bit, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've looked directly in too many times.
I remember clearly elementary school, one of the eclipses came by. They, you know, we all built those shoebox things.
One of the eclipses came by. They have more enforcement.
We all built that, you know, that shoebox thing.
There's
with the
another
hole.
Eclipse coming.
And everybody was like, and the teachers, you go outside and they're like, okay, you can look at it, but only through the shoebox.
Right.
Don't look at it or it'll damage your eyesight. And I'm like, like, don't tell me not to do it, because then I am
for sure
going to do it. I probably wouldn't have looked at the sun.
You know what? You're 100% right.
Not to.
They should have said, I'm going to give you a shoebox. Whatever you do, don't look through the shoebox.
Right. Or just say, here, this is how we look at the eclipse. I would have been like, okay, that sounds good. But when you put the caveat, whatever you do, don't look at it with your eyes. Now I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
What are you trying to hide from me?
I am compelled to do so.
Oh, I hate to talk about such sad things on a Friday, but did you see that? This sounds insane. India is running out of wood because they're using it all to burn bodies. There are four major suppliers of wood, and they're all out.
This is crazy.
Is that... Again, like, in the United States, we can't find toilet paper, you know, and we're all paying, like, too much money for Charmin. Over there, they can't cremate mom because no one has any logs.
Man, they're still not locking down the country. They're worried that it's going to just completely obliterate the economy, so they're not imposing a lockdown. I mean, if there's any time... to put a country on lockdown, I would say you're running out of wood because you're burning so many bodies.
Right? Yeah.
This is just a tragedy.
We have Hancock and Kelly coming up about 20 minutes. So many things I want to talk to these guys about. But did you see now that the insurrectionists from January 6th, they're coming up on trials, and one guy is his defense. Have you heard this? Foxitis. For real.
Oh, Fox News told them to do it?
Yes. And now...
I don't think they did.
Now, multiple people, they're saying that Fox is a cult, and the president led the cult, and this is through his attorney in actual pleadings, that Fox basically radicalized him. And he believed what the president said. That's why he did it. But anyway, the story I was trying to get to, remember Zip Tie Guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this, but Zip Tie Guy's mom was there too. And she's in jail, he's in jail, and he wants to call her for Mother's Day, but they're not allowed to have contact. And so he has filed something saying, I just want to talk to my mom. I'm not going to talk to her about Trump or what happened. I'm just going to talk to her. I'm just going to say Happy Mother's Day. And so far they're saying, like, shut up. You're in prison. She's in prison. You can't talk.
Wow.
Thoughts? Too harsh?
I can't believe that they... Whoa, my computer screen is like, hey, Dave, will you look at the wide orbit screen? It's flipping out. I don't know. I'm a little shocked that they didn't make bail or anything. They've just been sitting in prison since whenever they got arrested?
They could be home. I don't know.
Oh, and they're just on a no contact?
They're on a no contact, but I think a lot of them are still in jail.
They should be allowed to send a card, I feel like. I mean, but if you have a no contact order, you have a no contact order, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in jail. You've done a crime.
You lost your compassion when you lost your blue jeans. Tony doesn't care. Dave looked at him again. I love that. I love how Klein does that. He's not even hiding. He's like,
check my pants every time I say, yeah.
I mean, I get that it's Mother's Day and you want to be nice, but there's plenty of people who
stormed the Capitol.
I mean, it's not even specifically that, but if you're on a no contact order, it means you're not supposed to talk to each other. So. I mean, I don't see the harm in letting him write his mother a card and someone can look at it and then give it to her and make sure it's not saying, like, next January 6th, we riot again. Like, as long as it's kosher, let him write her a card.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 248. Hancock and Kelly are going to be here next. We get show prep. We get tons of studies and polls and things like that. This one, like, literally made me spit my coffee this morning. Maybe you guys saw this one. 50% of people surveyed, and there were like 10,000 people surveyed, 50% of people surveyed think that they are better than everyone else. Not their spouse, their siblings, everyone else.
They're the ultimate person?
Yes.
It's like I always tell you, people think that they are the protagonist of reality. Like, the whole world is revolving around me, and every decision I make is because I am good and I am a hero and I can never be wrong because it's all about me. Exactly. I can't be wrong. I know how I feel. Wow. That's kind of spooky though. That
half.
Honestly, I can count on both hands the people I met in my life where I went, I'm better than that guy. Right?
Yes.
I'm not trying to be self-deprecating. Like, I really don't meet people
I'm
and
one
go,
of the worst
I'm better
people
than that,
that
guy.
I know.
Me too, you are.
I know.
50%. That's half terrifying. The people think they're the best person on the planet.
Well, no wonder we have such a rough time communicating with each other, and every time there's
great
any
point.
Sort of cultural issue, it just devolves into screaming at each other and name-calling and putting each other into categories because... Hey, if I'm better than you, then you should just take what I'm saying and I shouldn't have to hear your response.
Yes. How are you going to educate me?
Right. What? I think that's how people really
feel.
What
really are you going to tell me?
Mm. That is scary.
It is so pretty right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Dave Klein just looked
it's
out the
a beautiful
window.
Day.
I love you, Dave Klein. No, I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
It is gorgeous.
Why do you have your mouth on the mic and you're not talking?
His mouth on the mic.
You have to turn him on.
Oh, sorry. It was potted down.
He's trying
Total
to talk.
Mistake. Total mistake, Dave.
It happens. It's okay.
But you have nothing to say.
No, I'm busy back.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
It's okay.
I'm listening.
Rach, what do you got?
Oh my gosh. There's so many celebrity things we could talk about, but I really want to talk about this Bachelor thing. So back when we were on 97.1, we were following the downfall of Chris Harrison pretty closely.
Yeah.
The former host of The Bachelor, who knows if he'll ever be reinstated. He was basically let go for, people say he was making excuses for this Bachelor contestant named Rachel McConnell, who it was discovered that she had gone to like some Confederacy themed parties and had liked some posts containing the Confederate flag and things like that. So people said she's a racist and she shouldn't be on the show. She was receiving all this blowback. And Chris Harrison said, yeah, can we cut the girl a break? I mean, it was several years ago. She's grown now. And that was apparently enough for him to have to step away from his job for an indefinite period of time. So that was kind of crazy when that all went down. So this woman, Rachel McConnell, ended up winning The Bachelor, but when the bachelor who chose her, Matt James, found out about all this stuff, he happens to be black, and he broke up with her, saying, this is really problematic, like these things that you were into, we just can't be together. I'm sorry, I really liked you, but we just can't be together. Well, they're back together, folks.
Hey.
After about a month and a half of all this drama, they
Bachelor
are back together. I guess it doesn't matter that she's a racist anymore, which, okay, sure. She probably has definitely learned a lesson because she got such a public dragging, and I'm sure she feels very sorry. And if he can forgive her and they want to be together, that's great. But the first thing I thought was, man, if I'm Chris Harrison, I'm mad.
Yeah.
I lost my job defending this girl because she won. She won the contest. She's a big deal to the franchise. He's probably trying to protect The Bachelor himself, knowing at the time that this scandal came out that this girl had won the show. And he's probably trying to protect The Bachelor so he doesn't look so bad. And he's saying, can we ease up off of her? Can we give her a break? And he got canceled for just saying, hey, guys, not so fast. Like, we don't have to be that mean to this girl. So it goes nuclear. She's publicly shamed. Bachelor breaks up with her. But now they're just back together. Like, it was like we got in this whole argument.
Do you remember
argument,
what she did?
And it meant nothing.
Exactly.
At the end of the day. She had gone
to... Did she go to, like, a costume party and dressed as a... Or was she,
yes.
like,
no,
into
she had
it
a,
more
like a cotillion
than...
that was, like, it looked like Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, it was a plantation party. So people felt that was really inappropriate because the white people were having a great time on the plantation. Meanwhile, there were some terrible things going down. I can see that if for 20 years your sorority or something participated in that, not stopping to think of the implications, it's still a pretty dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
And she did apologize for it. And then apparently she had went and liked a bunch of posts that had racial content that like had stuff to do with the Confederate flag and were maybe like seeming low key racist. But she was found out. She was exposed online. She got canceled. Her boyfriend broke up with her. And it was like, she's a bad person, but now they're just back together.
Now it's just Chris Harrison.
Which, again, yeah.
And he's out of a job still.
I'm glad that they were able to work it out and that they can, you know, have this affection for each other. And this bachelor has shown her forgiveness. Like, I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
I just think, so then why did we as a society get so wrapped up in this and argue about this so much and go through all this to, like, publicly punish this person?
Yeah.
If it's just like, it doesn't matter anymore.
You know what's what I think is really bad about the whole cancel culture is that it has evolved over the past, what, year, 2 years into a year from now, no one is going to remember what Chris Harrison did. All they're going to know is that he has some stink on him.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
They're just going to know that he's a racist, basically.
All you need to know is go like, Tony Colombo, there's something with him, right? You're like, yeah, he had a thing. That's all you need.
Yeah. But it was a race thing.
But it was a race thing.
That's what they'll remember. It was a race thing.
The thing that really stinks is all he said was, can we please not be so harsh on this girl?
Right.
And he got crushed.
Can we understand her point of view before we
It was a while ago. She's still learning, and people thought, that's not good enough. You shouldn't even be defending her in this way. You shouldn't be showing her any sort of compassion because she messed up and she's a racist. Okay. I don't agree with that. I didn't think that Chris Harrison did anything wrong. He was having a conversation and trying to be reasonable about the situation. But then her boyfriend, who is black, broke up with her because I'm sure it looked horrible and he was probably humiliated that she participated in all these things, but he's gone back and forgiven her. So can we just say the whole situation is rectified at this point, or is it Chris Harrison is just permanently on the list of bad people that we don't want working in media anymore?
How about this? In the old days, we used to wait for people to really do something terrible, and then they would have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like whack-a-mole, where you were standing there with a rubber mallet waiting for someone just to poke their tiny little head up so you could hit them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go looking for it now.
It's even worse than whack-a-mole.
With people like bachelorette contestants,
mm-hmm,
and just someone who is an online something. And I guess maybe the world's passed me by, and those people are important, but it just seems like...
Well, and then you're also catching up the people who are just commenting on the situation. Now, unless you comment correctly, you're in danger of getting in trouble.
The most dangerous thing you can do is comment or apologize.
We probably shouldn't even be talking about this right now, to be perfectly honest.
I'm talking about Zero Res.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.